Welcome to This Week in Fast Pitch, the podcast that keeps you up to date on the latest news, insights, and analysis from the world of fast pitch softball. Powered by 643, we bring you the stories behind the scores, the personalities behind the players, and the strategies behind the game. Whether you're a fan, a coach, or a player, we've got you covered with expert analysis and insider information. So sit back, relax, and get ready for a deep dive into the world of fast pitch softball. This is This Week in Fast Pitch, powered by 643, with your hosts, Jimmy Thomas and Kevin Bednoski. All right. We are here for another episode of TWIF, and this is going to be an unbelievable episode. We're so excited for what we've got in store for you guys. But first, couple introductions. As always, to my right is my ever-large and in-charge co-host, Coach Jimmy Thomas, welcome.
What's up, guys?
Howdy, howdy. And the man behind the glass, our executive producer, in air quotes.
Air quotes.
CEO 643, Mr. Matt Cook.
Good afternoon.
All right.
Good to be here.
That's awesome. We are so psyched for what we've got going on today. I don't know that this particular group of people with the two guests that we have today have been together online and in an interview together. So we are excited to bring...
Nice touch.
Yeah.
Nice touch.
We are absolutely...
First time ever.
You gotta let it play out, right?
It's a good one. Oh, there you go. Nice. Get the lighters out.
We are so excited to have back-to-back AU champs, Odyssey Alexander and Amanda Lorenz. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Congratulations.
Hello.
All right. So first off, we'll get to the 2023 champ first. We'll go back in time here, 2023. Odyssey, you're down where are you right now? You're down in
Richmond. Virginia.
You're in Southern Virginia.
Southern
and
Virginia.
I believe... This week, are you headed to Wake Forest? You headed to Wake Forest soon?
I am. Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. So she's going to be down in our 643 location down in Wake Forest. So if you have not signed up, although I'm sure she's already booked. She's already booked. Okay, mm-hmm. So forget that. we're so excited. Take us back in time. What was it like when that last out was recorded and you kind of knew it was going to happen? What was that like for you, Odyssey, when you sort of won it all? And you both, interestingly enough, have that picture, that same picture. We're going to probably use it with your hands up after with the confetti flying down. And
is that real confetti or is that photoshopped?
It's real.
Is it?
It's like an awkward moment, isn't it, Amanda? Where it's like everyone's staring at you and you're like,
Do they tell you to put your hands up in that victory position or is that just...
Yeah, like, what do I do? What do I do? I don't know. It's kind of...
What was it like to win that thing?
I mean, it's just a moment like you'll never forget. It's like, gosh, all the work you put in to be in that moment, because we all know it's hard. Amanda, I know you know it's hard. You just have to have, like, I don't know, that attitude of gratitude. Like, I know I'm great at the sport, and anybody can honestly win, and it's tough. I mean, so having that, I don't know.
Well, were the nerves in the last game, like, on, like, at the top because you know that, you know, could have something bad happened and you have not won it in the last game?
I didn't think like that. I was like, I'm just going to go out here and play for my team, honestly. And then when I did get to the top, I'm like, I'm going to take myself out. But obviously, I wanted the team to still win. But, you know, you kind of got to be a little selfish. Amanda knows that in that game because, you know, you're playing for points, you're playing for money. So it is tough.
Wait a minute. I'm not sure I understand that or know that story. So wait, in the last game, you took yourself out? Is that what you just said?
Why?
So you hit a point threshold, you knew you would want it, and you pulled yourself out?
I did.
That's freaking awesome.
How selfish of
That's
me,
great.
Right?
Good for you. Hey, listen, that league is designed to be selfish, right? The way they do the point systems, you're playing by the rules.
It is.
So could you have lost points, though, had you stayed in, like if you get an error or something?
I could have. Yeah, I could have lost points.
Are we losing her?
Oh, no. Amanda, take over.
It's that.
But you could also view it, she's saying it's selfish. You could also view it as like selfless. So she already knew she had won. And so to give other people opportunities to win points and help the team win the game, because at that point, when you know like the ceiling is already there, you're already there, so you might as well give others opportunity because they can still climb the leaderboard. So I actually view it in a different way of like
great response. That,
that's what you meant to say, right? Honestly,
unless like, you are the only way that your team's gonna win, and like you're doing your team a disservice by taking yourself out of the game. But I don't like, especially pitching. Like you have so many great pitchers on your staff, where it's like giving them opportunities to get points actually is the selfless route, which I think
you're gonna be
like,
in politics one day, aren't you?
She's right that she could have lost points, but that probably wouldn't happen. But she also like gave the opportunity for others to climb the leaderboard.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How did you feel in that last game? What was your scenario?
I had a good idea going into our last game that I had probably won. So I was just really like trying to help.
So she sat herself
win.
On the bench. She didn't start.
No. I was like, I really just wanted to help my team win, and we like got crushed. So it was like really weird where I won, but like my team, like we didn't win. Like it wasn't an awesome game. So it was like a weird thing of like, how am I supposed to be really excited when I just,
when like your team just got killed,
a failure. So it was like awkward of like, it was kind of, like Odyssey said, it's really awkward. And like, it's weird to win and everyone, like you're the only one that won. Like I'm so used to like winning a team game or a team championship where it's like, you know, you can go into the locker room and all like cheer and like pop a bottle of champagne or whatever, just like be super excited. Like you guys did that together. And it's like, you're the only one kind of standing there, like, and you know that like you didn't do it. Like so many teams, you didn't help you win and get all the points. And so it's just, it was really awkward for me, honestly. I was like, wow, winning a team championship is way better than this, because I don't feel like I should be the only one standing here. This is weird.
And you guys were both in a position to select your teams, right? When you're at the top of the leaderboard, and you get into a new week, don't you pick new rosters?
Yes.
Yeah, so did you have to end up picking your squad that you were playing with in the last? Like, what kind of pressure goes along with selecting your peers, right? And you're picking one and not picking another. You know, is there pressure that goes along with that? Is that tough?
Go, Amanda. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's, like, it's extremely tough. I think every week it's almost like, who are your pick to clicks? Like, who do you think is actually, because everyone is so great. It's just about who you think is like going to perform that week. So it's like a little emotional, like you kind of go with your emotions will kind of drive some of your picks of like, who are your people that you want to like, that you believe in, even if they didn't have a good week last week. And then also it comes down to like, hey, if I lose, am I going to be okay with this decision? Like, you know, I'm always like, I want to win. I always want to win. Don't get me wrong. But like, if this doesn't work out, am I going to be kicking myself because I didn't pick someone else? Or am I going to like, I want to be really sure of each decision that I make. So I think like that was a big reason for a lot of my picks too, of like going into each week of like, hey, I want to like be around the people that like I really believe in. And if we don't do this, like, I know I still am okay with the squad that I'm with. So I think like, it's really hard though, because people can blow up your plan, and they can choose the ones that you want to choose, which obviously happens a lot. So, but I think it's just about what's available on the board, but it's really stressful. It's really stressful.
Now AU is evolving, right? AU is evolving. We're going to see this new league kind of come into play next year. And correct me if I'm wrong, but they're still going to have sort of this team, but this point, it's going to be a little bit of a combo. Is that accurate? Or how is the league going to work in compared to the 8-week season? What are the differences?
So the AUSL is going to be like a traditional league. So it's going to be four teams for the first year, and it's going to be a traditional of like playing against each other. You stay on the same team the whole time, playing for a championship sort of thing. And then out of that league, they're going to have a Champions Cup, which will be the traditional, what we've known as the AU model. That's going to still be in play, and that's going to be the point system and all the things. It's going to be 4 weeks of competition instead of the five. So they're going to kind of do both next year, of having a traditional model where it's teams that you're on the whole time, and then Champions Cup will be a separate thing later in the summer.
So is there a draft?
We don't know a lot. We don't know a lot of details yet of what AUSL looks like. So we don't know if there's a draft. We don't know. I can't tell you a bunch of details.
You think they need coaches, Kevin?
I don't know.
You think you're looking for coaches?
Yeah, no. Is it all still going to take place in Chicago though?
The first year there's going to be, we don't know. But it's, I think the ultimate goal is to have different markets. Like Champions Cup will always be in Chicago as of now. I think that they have a few more years in the contract. But for the AUSL, I think the idea is they would travel to
four cities. I think that's what I read, is that they'd have four cities.
Like a franchise and have different locations.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, yeah. We're going to get a DC team.
We would love that.
Yeah. Hire Odyssey as our coach.
I'll be there.
We could be the sponsor of the team.
Do you like the point system? You know, I never really thought about that dynamic of, you know, you're working with teammates but really competing against them. And I assume that dynamic exists throughout the course of the season. Do you guys like that? Does it provide, like, you know, as a viewer?
I love it. Yeah.
You do like it?
I like watching it. I think it adds to the to the appeal of the game, to know that at a certain at bat or a certain, you know, pitcher hitter, you know, situation during a game could really impact the rankings or, you know.
I think strategically inside the organization, I think that's cool. But as a spectator, I feel like I want, just because I'm accustomed to it, right? I want to cheer for a team, a collection of people, you know, and get a team jersey. I don't know, but how do you guys feel about it? Amanda.
I don't know. I go back and forth of like, I loved it the first couple years. I'm like, oh, this is different and really challenging. And it's like fun to learn, challenge yourself in this game. Like as you get older, you kind of like crave more of like different ways to challenge and get better. But I'd say like, especially in the last 2 years, I'm like really craving the team aspect of like going through the grind with specific teammates for a long period of time and like competing for a championship and just kind of seeing what certain groups are made of. So I think like there's pros and cons to both. I think that if we've had like a sustainable league, like traditional league, then it would be like, it would be so easy for me to come in here and be like, no, it's awesome. Like it's so challenging and it's a fun new way to play our game and get fans involved. But I think without that traditional league sense and like competing with a team, we're definitely finding ourselves like craving more of like a traditional.
Yeah.
Softball.
When I read your bio and a little bit about you, I the one reoccurring thing that you always said is the thing that you remember is your teammates and the memories that you built within the, you know, within your teams that you played on. And yeah, I guess you could lose that with,
it's hard to do week at a time.
Every week, yeah.
So my question then is to both of you, and Odyssey, we'll start with you first. Like if you could envision, because you're talking about this team concept and you're talking about the new AUSL, right? So things are definitely, there is progress, there is movement. But if you could fast forward, let's call it 5 years, don't think Olympics, we'll get to that in a second, but think sort of the professional ranks. If you could fast forward in your mind 5+ years, what does professional women's fast pitch softball look like?
I'm given how they treat the MLB, like a certain amount of teams, you go in for spring training, like all these things that you see, I don't know, the NFL doing, the NBA doing, like, I know specific, like the when WNBA. I was in Texas with my cousin, just seeing how the WNBA, yes, that's even growing too, but just seeing how my cousin did things, I'm like, gosh, like, I wish our sport, you know, had all of these things and we could do these things. And I was honestly training with him and it was pretty cool to see. And I think that's why now, like, what I do invest in this game, like, that's where we want to get to. That's why I continue to invest my time and money or whatever into softball, because that's our goal. And
Do you guys have any insight as to the growth of the game? I mean, obviously it's been on ESPN and that was huge for the league and the growth in the you know, getting eyes on the game, but us as fans and coaches, we don't get, you know, we don't have inside information on how the game's growing. And you guys being in the biggest league in the world or the most popular, you know, best players in the world, do you have any insight onto, you know, ESPN, their plans or what's going to happen moving forward? Like, I don't know.
I have zero insight.
You just show up and play.
I wish I had more. I feel like you know, this year it was kind of split. So we had some games on ESPN and some on Bally Sports, and it wasn't super consistent. So I really don't know like what that looks like of ESPN's investment or Bally Sports investment. Like, I have no idea what it's going to look like. And I think, like, going back to the question of where do you see our game or pro game in 5 years, I feel like a lot of us, especially ones who've been playing for a number of years, it's a lot of like hope, like, yeah, I hope that it's going to be bigger. I hope, like, but we've been saying it for so long, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, but I think it also comes down to like, until we get, it's hard because I feel like each year I go in and I'm like, we're forced to have all these other jobs on the side, right? To like make ends meet. We don't get paid well, and we don't expect to, right? Like, we're only playing 5 weeks out of the year, but it's really hard to devote the amount of time that a pro athlete should be devoting their time to, like, mm-hmm. to really be the best that we can be possible when we're only getting paid in this amount for 5 weeks out of the year.
Right.
So I think like what I'm just hoping for is that the investment like matches what our work ethic should be, of just that we show up ready to go and in the best shape of our life, because I just don't think that we are given right now. It's really hard to make it that much of a priority and to, for us as a collective unit, to like show up the best that we can be. Like, I think that we have so much room to grow with just sure. our talent and the amount of time that we can invest in ourselves and work more. But it's like, it needs to be both of like, we're getting paid that way so that we can make it a priority, that we show up to spring training and we've already been doing things for however many months. There's not really a spring training that needs to happen. It's really just time for us to like train together and train in a group setting. So that's where I'm at. Like, I really hope that just the investment is more for us to train more, to really like show up and look like pros, because honestly, like watching just us and the product that we put, like each year I'm like, God, we can be so much better. Like, we can be so yes. much better if we invested more time, if we had coaching, if we like proper training. Just like the ceiling is so high that it's almost like you watch the College World Series and then you look to us and you expect us to be better. And I don't know that we're better right now, honestly, yeah. just because we don't
the
have
focus
the same
isn't the same.
Resources.
Yeah.
You got other jobs and other things that you have to do in order to put food on the table and a roof over the head and all that other kind of stuff.
And you also have the University of Florida athletics program to go in and feed you and use their facilities and do all that exactly. stuff. And now you exactly. have to figure that out on your own.
Can we commiserate just 1 second about what's going on in Gainesville right now? The Gators are just not good. Football, just not good.
Yeah, that's like so out of sight, out of mind for me. I'm like, the Florida Gators just committed the number one recruit in the 2026 class for softball, and that's exactly. all I care about.
Nice, exactly. I like that.
I'm like, everybody wants to talk to me about football, and I'm like, yeah, it's falling on deaf ears. All I care
good, I love it.
Is about the University of Florida softball program.
Yeah,
I love it.
And they're thriving, baby, and I'm pumped about it.
There you yes. go. Another great response.
Yeah,
strike that question from the record, please.
We played that young lady this summer, and she pretty much dominated us.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So just going back on that a little bit, I mean, the reality of it is, you know, it's a sport, but it's also based off of money, right? So we've got to attract more money into the game. And I think we're seeing that with the television advertising and things like that. But just anecdotally, are you seeing the crowds? Are they showing up? Are people engaged? Are they getting into it? Are you seeing more sponsors, you know, show up year after year? I mean, is that just, you know, through your own eyes, is that something that you can see developing?
I think I see it like fluctuating. I'm not quite sure of like sponsors wise as far as like AU, but it definitely feels like certain athletes in our sport get treated well. And I feel like certain athletes get taken advantage of the amount of money that they're signing for with certain brands. Like, I just think it fluctuates so much that there's such like an education piece to like us as athletes. Like, I think we've been thankful for so long of like thankful for every opportunity. And not like that's bad. Like, I love that that's in our DNA of wanting to be thankful for things. But it's also like we need to be okay with no. Like, okay with, okay, no, this partnership is actually not going to work out if you don't see me the same way that I see myself, right. or like vice versa. If we're not like aligned on that, then it's okay for us to say no. So I think that I feel like we're starting to have those conversations and move forward of just like demanding more or just asking more, because we know our worth, not because I think like I'm high and mighty and I'm up here and I should, but I know like what I can offer and what I want to do for certain brands, that I'm totally okay with this partnership not working out.
Right.
if that means like that we're not aligned, perfect. Like, I'm okay. I'd rather just not be signed. And I think that we are starting to like have those conversations, especially like with rookies coming in, like challenging them. Well, why do you want to sign that contract? Like, tell me why.
Good.
Why would you sign that contract for 3 years at that amount?
Yeah.
And like, if I don't feel like they even can give me a response, I'm like, yeah, don't do that again. Like, tell me why, like, don't do that. And really like bet on yourself. You can buy a bat and a glove or ask other contacts for bats and gloves. You don't need to sign that contract for that amount of money for what they're asking you to do.
It may be somewhat counterproductive, but is AU helping with that? Are you guys being represented at all? Do you have your own legal? Do you have your own agent? Do you, you know, are they providing education to you? Like, are they helping or sort of hindering the process?
No, they don't help, but I don't think that's their job, in my opinion. Like, I would much rather them just focus on like paying us more for the softball things and like, you know, the TV deals and all those things, which I think they're doing and trying every day for that. Many of us have our own agents and people that advocate for us, but I think also like, I just don't think our sport is at the place right now where everyone needs that. So I think sometimes it's just like word of mouth of just trying to educate people of like, hey, I did this and I wish I didn't do it and I would have done this.
Honestly, it sounds to me like our sport needs more people like you that are mentoring.
Yeah, no kidding.
That are mentoring younger players. So
she's
you
her.
And you and your colleagues, your peers that have same mindset and aligned goals should, you know, it to me seems like we need a consortium and conglomerate of you guys to say, hey, look, this is sort of the way that we need to be acting. And this
players
is the way
association.
That, yeah, right. Like a players association, basically. I don't know if that's a formal thing or not a formal thing for you guys, or if there's some work behind the scenes that we don't know about and all that kind of stuff. But to me, it sounds like you guys are mentoring younger players. And to me, that story needs to be brought out as well.
Yeah, I think, and it's because, I mean, me coming in, I got drafted out of college to play for the Pride, and, at the time when I joined the Pride, like there were some just goats of our game still playing for the Pride. So like that, because of them, like I remember coming in and they like were so great at just, we're an open book. Like, you want to know what we're getting paid? This is what I'm getting paid. This is why I said no. This is what I think you should do. So I just think of like my time on the Pride was like so instrumental to me being okay with just like talking outwardly with my peers about certain things or how I get treated or experiences I've had. But like that was totally like Sierra Romero was huge for that for me, especially like early on in my pro career. Chelsea Goodacre was like the one to tell me to get my first credit card and how to use credit card points and all of those things. So I just think back to like my time on the Pride was huge for that because of the way that they helped me like advocate for myself and be okay with talking about money. And like, it seems like so taboo, especially in the female space. Sorry, I feel like I'm talking so long, but especially in the female space, because it felt like for so long, like I need to keep it quiet because if I share it, then they'll get it. And that's going to take away from me. And it's like, no, that is not the case. Like, that is not the case. The more that we share, like the more the merrier, like just because I'm getting it and I want someone else to get it does not mean it's going to take away from my pile. Like, I want more strong females in our game, the better, and I want everyone to get paid. So the more that we can share information, the more that we'll be able to demand for more and show what we can do.
Beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, so a little off topic, a little bit, but still talking money. NIL. So you guys both would have been huge earners in your day in the NIL space. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, we just signed our first softball $1 million deal, right, this year. And you guys probably would have been some pretty high earners had NIL come a little bit earlier. What are your thoughts on that whole deal and missing out barely by a couple years?
Ouch.
Missing out is crazy. I mean.
Right? I mean, you guys both built big brands through the College World Series and all that stuff. I mean, or, you know, it's like, geez. You think it's cool?
You want my honest opinion?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Unpopular opinion. I mean, I think it's cool, but I mean, don't get me wrong. Najari, she deserves the world. Do not get me wrong on that. But it's like, how?
But you're a professional athlete now, and then you see a college athlete pull $1 million deal, or you're like, oh, wow.
And I'm like, you're driving around in Range Rovers, and I'm over here just, you know, trying to make ends meet. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but to Amanda's point, it's helping grow the game,
that's
right?
That's what I was going to
say.
It's not. It's overarching, right?
Yeah.
It is. That's a tough conversation. But I mean.
Yeah. Amanda, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that I am coming from a privileged space of, like, I had a great scholarship at the University of Florida. I had everything taken care of. If I really needed something, if shit hit the fan, I could call my parents and everything was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I understand that I'm coming from that point of view, but I hate it so much. I hate that money is driving, like, where you're going to school and if you're going to transfer or not. Like, yeah. That.
So you hate the portal. You hate the portal.
That part makes my blood boil just because I think of, like, my time at Florida. And again, another, like, privileged point of view. I had the best 4 years of my life. I loved my experience with all my heart. I totally understand that people make the wrong choice and find out that another school might be better for them. That's not what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. Like, I'm not a total hater against the portal. I'm a hater when it comes to, like, you're leaving because there's bigger NIL mm-hmm. opportunities at other schools.
Yeah.
That hurts me.
I can't even lie.
Yeah, that hurts me because it just feels like you are chasing the money instead of the experience. Instead of the education, instead of, like, the program that's going to help you thrive for not only, like, your 4 years, but your life. Like,
you start playing for the wrong reasons, right?
Totally. Like, I just think to, like, the woman I am now, like, the wife that I am, the future mom that I am, is because of my time at Florida.
Right.
And because I found the program that was going to help me for my whole life and how I want to be and what I want to learn and et cetera. Like, I mean, so much. So, like, that part, like, and when I think about my experience, it just makes my heart, like, swell with pride of just the best time of my life. And I'm just so thankful that we weren't having money conversations in the locker room of, like, what brand was going to give me what. And, like, what, like, I'm just so thankful that we were worried about what we were going to have for dinner and joking around and, like, getting through the week so that we could have fun on Friday nights. Like, I'm just so thankful that, like, that was my experience and I wasn't, like, tainted by the whole money talk. So I would say that there's a lot of pros and cons. You know, like, it is good that people are able to do their own clinics and charge whatever they want. Like, yeah, that's good. That should have never been a question. But as far as, like, just getting paid because I'm going to school there from these collectives and all these things, like, I hate it.
Yeah. Well, how did you end up getting all the way out to Gainesville from California? How did UCLA and some of the other programs let you get out of state?
I actually wanted to go to UCLA so bad. I, like, grew up about 30, 40 minutes from Westwood. So UCLA was, like, always my dream school. I played for the Baptisters and had, like, the amazing opportunity to get seen by a lot of schools. And once going through the recruiting process, it just, like, I got on the phone with Coach Walton and took a visit out to Gainesville. And I was like, wow, this is, like, SEC country is so cool. Like, I had no idea. I had no idea just how crazy, like, fans were on the other part of the country. Obviously, just being tucked away in LA, the fans are not the same. So I just, like, could sense being on campus. I was like, wow, I feel like I could come here and, like, our sport would be celebrated the same way, like, football celebrated. Like, people care about softball here. Like, every seat is taken at softball games. And so when I went to my visit, I just, like, really, the weird, like, feeling that everyone says you're going to feel like home, and it totally felt like home to me. I just loved it so much.
Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Coach Walton? Because I know that it's a pretty special relationship, I assume. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're super close. I can't say I'm definitely, like, his biggest fan, but truly, like, him and his family are, like, family to me. I cannot say enough about my experience at Florida and just how he always knew, like, goals that I had and then, like, demanded that I worked the way that I should if I had these goals. So, like, challenged me with my work ethic and just challenged me as a leader, as a human, as a friend, just constantly trying to make me better. And just now it's been, like, anytime I have a life decision or, you know, like, I have incredible relationships to my parents. Obviously, they're my first call too, but I want to talk to Coach Walton and get his opinion as well. I think that I really value our relationship, and I know he's going to shoot me straight and always has my best interest. And yeah, I'm a big fan.
Will you be at NFCA in December for his Hall of Fame induction?
Oh God, I have a wedding that my husband is a best man in a wedding that weekend. So I'm trying to figure out if I'm able to like come in and leave and still make the wedding. So I'm trying. He was at our wedding.
Yes.
At our welcome party when he got the call that he was going to be inducted.
Yeah, that's cool.
Next year. So we like joked around that he was trying to take my moment away from me. but yeah, so I'm trying to work it out. I hope so.
So what did, you know, we talked about it a little bit, but growing up in California, what did your day-to-day look like? I mean, we have a lot of young athletes that work in 6'4", 3", a lot of girls that look up to people like you and Odyssey and try to emulate what you guys are doing. And Odyssey's story has become sort of legendary around here, her work ethic and throwing against cinder blocks and some of the stuff she did in high school. What were you doing? What was your work ethic like? I mean, obviously you were the number one recruit in the country. So you had to work hard to get there. I mean, what did your day-to-day life look like in high school?
Yeah, I think I like go back to in seventh grade. That was kind of like the switch for me of like, this is going to be something serious. And, you know, I think a lot of those conversations happen like behind closed doors with my parents of like, hey, I grew up in Ventura County, which is a little north of LA. And the hotbed, the best softball is in Orange County, California. And so just kind of decided that, hey, let's see if I can like compete the way that I think I can compete. And like, I really, if I want to take this seriously and get better, like I want to play with people that take it as seriously as I do. And so we made the jump to play for the Orange County Baptisters starting in seventh grade. So that was like 3 to 4 days a week. My parents were driving me 2.5 hours through the LA traffic to get down and train with the Batbusters. So I'd say like that was probably the biggest, the most instrumental thing. I still think like playing locally, I still would have made it to a Division I school. I still think like, but the way that Mike Stith and all my teammates on the Batbusters challenged me to get better and like continuously just try to aim for the best was second to none. So I think like it started pretty early for me of how seriously I was taking this game, and I loved every second. I never had like that you hear, and I totally think it's true, and I don't think these kids are making it up, but you think of like the burnout and it can be too much at times. Like I think like God gave me a love of softball. Like I'm such a psycho about this game. Like I love practice so much. Like I love training. I love games. I love competing. So it was never like I was happily missing sleepovers or certain things because I like wanted to play softball. So I think like early on, that was probably the biggest change for me and my family of like making the decision to travel far, to play for an elite team and be around elite athletes that would make me better.
Did your parents make it to the games in Florida?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's commitment right there. The cross country flight. Nice.
Yeah. Always making it hard on them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk a little Olympics. We've got 2028. Now the countdown is, I guess, officially on now that Paris is over, right? The countdown is officially on. What's your guys, your thought about sort of softball back in the Olympics and how do we keep it there, number one? And then personally, what are your guys' plans as to how you looking to be part of this, looking to support it? How are you looking to support it? How are you looking to stay involved? Odyssey, how about you?
Oh, I mean, one, it's exciting. Of course, because why wouldn't softball be in the Olympics? But we all know what it depends on, right? The votes, you know, and all that.
Yeah, but how frustrating was it this year to watch trampoline and the breakdancing lady from Australia and not have softball in the Olympics? It was like, come on.
I don't know. Track was lit, though.
Yeah, track was.
Track was lit. Gymnastics was lit. But I mean, you kind of have this place in your heart where it breaks your heart that softball isn't in the Olympics. Well, it wasn't, because I know for me, that's always been a goal, and to even play on the national team, was a huge goal for me, and just to wear the letters across my chest means more than, you know, it means more than the money. It means more than, you know, a lot of things. So, of course, I would shoot for to be on Team USA in the Olympics. That's always just, I don't know, to be with the best of the best. Like, I don't think I got the chance to play with Amanda on the national. Yeah, I did. Did we, Amanda?
Yeah.
Amanda, how about you? How about you? What
Where
are
were
thoughts?
We? Where were
Guatemala.
We?
Guatemala. Guatemala.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. Amanda, I had the flu before that, so my mind was a little.
Yeah. I feel like everyone had the flu that week. That was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
I was down bad in Guatemala.
You did.
Yeah, I was bad.
That's bad. Great.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. I think that obviously now turning the page, it's like we're in a new quad, and USA Softball should get some funding from the USOPC. So it's like really exciting to see what the USA Softball program will look like heading into 2028. I think that, you know, it's huge just to show like how much our sport continues to grow to prove to the International Olympic Committee that, like, you know, we need to stay in that Olympic program for good. I think it's really hard, you know, when we're a joint bid with baseball of like what the MLB allows and how that looks, but just continuing to hope. I know like my dream of playing in the Olympics for Team USA probably was there before I even dreamed of playing in college. Like watching the 2008 Olympic yes. team, like that group was everything to me. Of just, I wanted to be exactly like them. Like I stood in line for autographs, and it was just completely obsessed with the way that they represented USA and played our game. Just made me feel like anything was possible. Like I could do anything in our game. So a huge goal for me, like since I was so young, was to be an Olympian and win a gold medal with Team USA. So that's a huge goal of mine, is to help put Team USA in the best position possible to win gold in 2028. So really hope yes. that I'm going to be a part of it and do everything possible. But at the very least, I just want to help our program get better and push the needle forward to us winning gold and bringing gold back to America where it belongs.
Nice.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on playing in Oklahoma City versus playing in LA? Does that matter to you? Ooh. I mean, is that a good thing, a bad thing? Doesn't matter at all? Or just your thoughts on the venue?
I think like right when I saw the news break, I, being a kid like from LA area, I was like really heartbroken just because the thought of it being a short drive away for all of my family and, you know, friends that I grew up with, like to come hopefully watch me in the Olympics, and just thinking about just softball in Southern California and what it looks like and how many young girls would be able to come and watch the Olympics with their own eyes. So originally I was just really sad and heartbroken because it felt like our sport was kind of getting pushed to the side. Like, oh, we have, you know, a great venue in Oklahoma. We can send them there. And so I was just, I was a little heartbroken about it, but at training camp this year, USA Softball just kind of, they, you know, it was not USA. I was like, it was this USA Softball's idea. Like, whose idea was this? Not their idea. Just, you know, I do know that Oklahoma takes softball really seriously, and they will definitely yes. make it an amazing, amazing event and make these softball Olympians feel really special. So I know that not only USA Softball, but just the state of Oklahoma and Oklahoma City will do everything to make sure that it's an unbelievable experience for not only the softball players, but for the fans too. I think that the way that the fans will show up, I mean, the way that they show up for the World Series is unbelievable. So I can't even imagine the way that they'll show up for the Olympics in 2028. I know that they're announcing some stadium renovations and things to make it better as well. So do I wish it was in LA because I'm a California kid? Absolutely. But I think that it's still the Olympics, and it's going to be unbelievable. And I'm going to be there regardless, whether I'm a fan or playing on the field. I'm going to be there too, because it's really incredible, and I can't wait.
So you mentioned something really when Coach was asking a question, just about when you were a young kid and you were standing in line signing autographs and just beaming with sort of the future of what softball could be in your life. What can you do now as sort of you're now on the other side of that, right? You're the one that's given the autographs and standing in the other side of the line waiting for young girls, but what are the other things that you and your peers and we all can do to help make sure that little 8-year-old girl or 10-year-old girl that's standing behind the ropes or training or working hard or whatever, what is it that you can do or we can do to make sure that little 8-year-old girl turns out has a chance to be Amanda Lorenz? Like what is it that we can do as a softball industry to make sure that we give that young girl an opportunity?
Yeah, I think the visibility piece is huge. Like, just like if you see her, you can be here. So like just continuing to get in front of their eyes and just showing them that like there's a future for them in this game. Like that was so huge for me, just seeing these women like compete on huge stages and what they're able to do with like just playing softball. So I think that's the big piece of just more opportunities and getting us in front of these young girls is just so huge. The last 2 weeks I had an opportunity to do something with MLB called Home Run Derby X. So we do like this Home Run Derby, we hit baseballs, but they have
girl,
like
you were right up the street from me.
Yeah, female superstars on each team, which is really cool, like MLB wanting females on a team. And so to be in these like minor league parks and packed fans and so many fans, but for me I was just like, oh cool, they want the females a part of it, that's kind of cool, just to hit some baseballs. I'm expecting like all baseball fans and boys, little boys, to be there. And the amount of girls that I saw like at these like packed minor league stadiums with softball shirts on and bringing softballs for me to sign was everything to me. Like I did not expect the way that these softball players are craving more and just to see us in more opportunities like that. So to be like just a face for that, to like show these little girls like, oh yeah, I'm hitting just as many home runs as the boys and doing it wearing pink turfs, and you can do it too. Like, it's cool.
That's a road pink. Show right now.
We can wear pink and we can do it and it's going to be great. So I think like that was really cool for me, just to have these little girls come to be like, I have pink cleats just like you. And it's like, yeah, and we'll hit the ball just as far as the boys while we do it.
Is that in select cities or are you traveling around and doing that in different cities?
It was in different cities this year. I think they were in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Albuquerque, Nashville, Durham. I think I'm missing one, but yeah, it's like an unbelievably fun event, and I'm sure there's going to be way more next year too. But
so you're really cool. Would the two of you just like to head up 95 a little bit, and we'll put something together up in the DC area right now
on a softball field,
on a really
on
nice,
a softball field.
I don't want to
really
hit up
nice.
Against Amanda.
So Amanda. Peanuts. So you said you were hitting baseballs, yeah?
Yep.
And on 300-foot fences on a traditional, yeah?
Not traditional. So they actually like make their own, like you're hitting on a stage and they kind of shrink the field. So it's like, it's about 315. So it depends what stadium you're at. But like a lot of the times we were like in front of third, kind of hitting towards right field, like where there's a lot of stands. Like the idea is as many fans as possible to go home with the baseball.
Right.
So they want like the most amount of people where you're going to hit the home run. So like you have to pay attention and bring your glove because you're going to be catching home
and
runs.
And you guys are hitting them out with frequency?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like you're headlined on each team by an MLB legend. So yeah. Like I got to hit with Manny Ramirez. Manny
wow,
Ramirez.
That's pretty sick.
In Durham. Yeah, yeah, it was really cool. So like I got to hit with him. And so it's just, you hit as many home runs as possible in like 2.5 minute span, but it's a really cool concept. A lot of fans involved and it was a blast. And I'm just so thankful that they see the value in the females and the softball players. There was some female baseball players as well, but seeing the value in us and like what we can bring to the fans and the little girls that come in the stadium and wanting us to be a part of it.
And you said that was an MLB initiative.
Yep.
Man, that's so you awesome clear, that MLB is really starting to.
Well, it is. Yeah. That was one of my topics, though, because, you know, you're clearly very excited about it. Sounds like it was a great event. I got to go back and watch it. It sounds like a fun spectator event. But I just have this sort of fundamental issue with the MLB and their what seemingly from an outsider's perspective is this hesitation to really lean into softball. I don't know what they're waiting for. I don't know why they haven't done it. I don't know why they haven't done what the NBA did 20 years ago with the women's NBA. And look at it now. And it took that long, by the way. So, you know, I don't want to take away from the event. I think it's very special. But why aren't we hitting softballs? Why aren't we talking softball? Why is it baseball? Why are women coming into a man's sport? You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff is what I immediately knee-jerk towards.
Sure. I think that one, like, this is different. This is like a different sector of, like, in a condensed version of just fun to mm-hmm. get fans involved and more fans of baseball, right? So I think that it's a little bit different as far as, like, hitting baseballs. I loved hitting the baseballs. They go further than the softball, so I have no problem hitting the balls. But then as far as, like, their investment in softball, I think it's really hard for MLB to be like, hey, we're going to invest in softball, when they have X amount of a million minor leaguers that aren't getting treated the best. And, you know, it's getting better. They've gotten a lot better of what they're getting paid and, and living conditions. So here they are, they're going to invest X amount of millions of dollars in starting a new softball when they can't take care of their own players. Like, I think it's a baseball is kind of a different realm when you look at them versus basketball.
Solid point. You also don't have venues.
It's just smaller. It's not the same. Like, where the minor league is so ginormous. They have so many athletes to take care of before they can focus on, in my opinion, of investing in softball and what that looks like. I think that once they get their minor league situation, if it's perfect and there's no complaints and everyone's getting treated great, and then they can focus on doing something else. But I think as of now, you have to worry about your own players.
So no animosity towards MLB. Clearly, I see that. That's great. Do you want MLB to be involved in women's, again, fast forward, right? Hypothetical. Do you think that's when we arrive, right? When you get the support of MLB, you've got much bigger budgets. Yeah, and I know Jimmy made a good point about stadiums, and, you know, they don't really kind of exist in that capacity currently. But would you, you know, ideally want to see MLB get behind women's softball and move it forward?
Yeah, I think, like, that'd be absolutely amazing. I think obviously we can learn so much from, and especially just in my 2 weeks of getting a taste of just how they do things and how they treat their players. And just, like, I was like, whoa, like, this is really cool.
this is a nice living.
A superstar. This is wild. And obviously that's just, like, a very small taste of, like, how they treat their big leaguers. But I think, like, obviously that's the goal, is to model what they've created, or work hand in hand with them to at least a partnership of helping them us establish a true professional league where we're viewed as professionals, and this can be a real year-round job.
Right.
Even if we had a professional league with 8, 10, 12, pick the number of teams, right, that's still a finite number of you guys, right? That's still just a infinitesimally small component of people that are involved in the game. So how do we continue to grow the game, the larger component of the game, and how do we still provide opportunities for the really, really good folks that might just be out on the outside of whatever that professional thing might look like, right? And again, to your guys' earlier point, is it's still not an opportunity today, and maybe even into the relatively near future, where it provides you and your family an opportunity to, you know, make a really, really good living, right? You know, Major League Baseball, guaranteed contracts, all that, you know, all that kind of great stuff. You guys aren't there yet. We want it to be there. But what are other ways that we can grow the game and grow opportunities for you guys to, you know, continue to be in the game that you love? Obviously, to keep the smiles on your faces and the faces of all the young little girls that are out there. What are some of the things that we can all do to help that?
Odyssey, you got anything?
I mean, I think 1-6-4-3 is helping that already. Just the training facility that we do have, I feel like, one, I never had that growing up. It's probably one of the best facilities I've ever seen. And obviously I couldn't thank you guys enough for that and letting me, you know, be a part of that. But that's one way to grow the game. I mean, I would go in there and train every single day of my life. If I wanted to play softball, I'm in there every single day. So I think 1-6-4-3 and what 6-4-3 does do, that's one way, in my opinion.
Amanda, how familiar with 6-4-3 are you? Have you seen? Not very. Have you seen you haven't seen the inside of one?
I didn't know anything about 6-4-3 until I saw Odyssey wearing some cool 6-4-3 shirts.
we can get you those for sure. Yeah. first of all, do you know Odyssey's story as it relates to what it is that we're doing. So Odyssey is, so we are franchising this business. So we are growing this across the country, and mm-hmm. Odyssey is going to be part of the franchise ownership group that opens up a new facility in the Richmond, Virginia market.
Yeah.
And we hope that to be relatively soon in the sort of the turn of the calendar, very, very early on in 2025. We're actually taking a road trip down there tomorrow to sort of look at the site and all that kind of stuff. So, we're really excited about that. And it is an opportunity for, you know, wealth creation, income, opportunity, staying in the sport, coaching in the sport, having a business opportunity in the sport that you guys all love. So, and we do feel that it's current players, former players, you know, have an opportunity to grow and stay in the game with this business opportunity. So, you know, that is definitely out there for people. So that's her story, and that's what she's doing with us and what she's doing with her financial partners and all that kind of stuff. It's a great group of people, and we're excited to open up that unit down in Richmond, Virginia next year.
We've heard LA needs one pretty bad.
But Clemson needs one.
Yeah. So it's just a cool place, great opportunity. It's girls only, you know, and
love
I
it.
Think yeah, it's one of the only places that kicks the boys out. Yeah. And has a better training facility than any of them have.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome. Yes, that is true.
But what else? What are some other ideas that are out there? Because honestly, we're trying to think about ways, and we need input from people about ways that we can continue to help grow the game.
One of the things I think is just keep showing the energy and being you. Like one of the things I wrote down that 100%. Amanda said earlier was, if you see her, you can be her.
Yeah, right?
I think that is the coolest phrase ever.
And you wrote
that's
what's down?
Happening. We're watching these girls. Yeah, I wrote that down. And you watch these girls on TV, and that's exactly what it is, right? Mm-hmm. When the College World Series is on TV that week, there is a buzz in our building, man, because everybody's watching it. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about the athletes and the players and the games. And, you know, Odyssey captivated our entire state, you know, the entire country. But it's just an amazing, you know, watching you guys on TV. So I think what they've been doing is huge. We've grown exponentially in the last 5-6 years, right? And to Kevin's point, we got to keep it going, but we're kicking ass right
marketing
now.
Marketing too.
No, but marketing going back to good. That was going to be my what I was going to say, but basically what Odyssey said, I said when you say, you know, the goal right now, like think of 8 to 12 professional teams for our sport, like I don't think we're there yet. Like we don't have, I think it starts like really at the youth level of like our instruction and how these kids are being developed and how they're showing up to schools, like ready to go and just continuing to grow the sport. Like if you know, I compare it to baseball and you just think of the amount of instruction and high level instruction you can get probably everywhere you turn as a baseball kid. Growing up, you know, it's not necessarily softball specific. It's the same, but not really. And so you just like the softball instruction probably isn't there where we're trying, but we're just not growing as much. So I just go back to instruction down at the youth level of just how we're growing it and doing it the right way so that we have more people coming out of college, not just from Power Fives, but from smaller schools as well, who can be pros and really compete on that level. Because as of now, we're not really seeing that. It's even like Power Five levels, we're not getting that many people that can come in. Like we're just not there yet where we can have 8 to 12 like really, really good top to bottom professional teams. So I think like as we continue to grow, where we have more athletes that are actually capable of competing at the professional level, then we can talk about it. But it's really easy. We can like say, oh God, that'd be awesome if we had 8 to 12 teams. Would it? Because would we put out the product that we want to, like professional softball to look like? Yeah. I don't know that it would look like that right now because we don't have the resources, the development system to make it a product worth investing in and worth watching.
Right. But don't you agree? I agree with all that. But don't you also agree that our sport has plenty of, well, the WNBA went through its growing pains too, right? So it had a period of time, but there's right now in your game at your guys' level, there are Angel Reese's and Caitlin Clark's and Diana Taurasi's and you know, the softball version of those WNBA stars, right? We have that in our game. It just may take time to get to the point of where now, you know, they're standing alone and they're standing, you know, with their league, and it's flourishing and thriving, and there's 30,000 people showing up to watch, you know, women's basketball at this point. I think that at some point we've got to step off over the ledge and take the chance and put the resources behind it and say, you know what, we're going to live through these growing pains and we're going to survive those things with the people that we know that can help us all get there.
Because you probably need the MLB like the NBA to help you survive those times, right?
I mean, you need money to do that, right? So
yeah, but I think it's a really good point Amanda makes and not something that I've really thought a lot about. I mean, in our little world, I think it's very analogous. I mean, 8 years ago when we started, we had, you know, 114 U kids. You know, now we have thousands of girls that are coming in here, and I can't tell you how many of them are 6 years old, right? So it's and if you look at the statistics, the game of softball has grown by over 28% in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. So, you know, I think it does start at the grassroots. I think it starts getting them in. You know, we have said over the years, it's so easy to put your kid in soccer because it's, I don't mean this derogatorily, but it's an easy sport to put a five-year-old out in front of. So capturing those kids early on and getting them to love this game and think about softball before they think about, you know,
lacrosse,
kickball, I think is important. And we've seen it here. I mean, look at our commitment wall. You know, the level of talent that Northern Virginia is now putting out is nowhere close to where it was, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. And I'm not saying that's entirely, you know, based on what we've done, but we've created the opportunity. As Odyssey said, I'd go there every day if I had it. Well, before this, you didn't have it. You were competing with baseball facilities and those sort of things. So I think what Amanda's saying is really spot on. There's a limited number, would you call it infinitesimal number? Of really high quality athletes in softball. And I think that's your point, is even if we grabbed them all and put them on together on a single stage, is it enough to garner the attention that the sport's going to need to grow? I think it's a very
poignant. I just think that there's a balance there between the billions of dollars being invested in women's sports right now. Yeah. Right? I mean, the investment in women's sports is off the charts, right? There you go. Everyone watches women's sports, right? So let's capitalize on that opportunity. Take the talent that we have,
mm-hmm.
right? Take the Amandas and the Odysseys of the world and all of their peers.
Sure.
Because they're laying the groundwork now.
No doubt.
For the next part of it, but I think we can accelerate it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I think we can accelerate it. And totally. I think that we got to jump off the cliff at some point and say, let's find ways to put the resources and the financial resources behind it at another level, because the investment in women's sports is as high as it's ever been right at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of my two cents on it, but
yeah.
I'm over here just learning.
Kevin spitting out wisdom.
No.
Yeah, he was.
All right. So we've talked AU. I have an AU question. I actually have an AU question. This was your question. What do you guys do when you're not playing for 5 weeks and you're sitting there, like, what are you doing? Do you guys go out together? Do you have happy hour together? Do you watch, like, what do you do?
We practice, we train.
Yep.
You're only there for so long. So it's like, we practice every day. We hit, yep. But there's definitely times where you're getting quality time with your people of going out to eat and, you know, doing some fun things.
Playing Mario Kart.
Yeah. We have some cool like AU outings, but locked in a hotel for 5 weeks and making the most of it. But I think like a lot of us, it's like maximizing your time to train with others. And you're not training by yourself, which is so nice. Like I'm like craving to hit with people. Like it's so fun to like take advantage of hitting with others and learning and, but yeah, I would say like quality time and practice. We practice a lot.
Do you guys build a ton of relationships? Did you guys know? Obviously, you played in Guatemala, you said, but I mean,
Odyssey,
you guys knew each
that.
Other, huh?
Odyssey doesn't remember that.
Yeah, I know, but Odyssey doesn't. But.
Listen, I told y'all I had the flu before.
All right.
But did I know her? Are you kidding? Amanda probably didn't know me, but I knew Amanda. I watched Amanda my entire high school career. Not saying she's old. But she was definitely a player. Eyes were always on. I couldn't wait to see Florida play her. And
were you jealous of the Florida flower, Odyssey?
Yes,
be real.
Totally.
Yeah.
I wanted to wear one of those. Are you kidding?
a purple one or a yellow
just
one?
Watching Amanda, like that was a place like I just always wanted to be.
Yeah.
Her, Lily, Kelsey. I'm like, gosh, like I'm just sitting on the couch. Like I want to be there one day.
And you did.
And now Amanda's my teammate. It's still the craziest thing ever. I don't tell her too much, but I'm in awe.
I'll put it to you this way. You had said your 4 years at Florida were the best 4 years of your life, and you created relationships there that will last forever, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying, does something like that exist in the professional realm as well? You've now spent multiple years with roughly the same people. There are new people in and out every year, but generally speaking, are you using the AU opportunity and the professional opportunity to forge very similar types of relationships that will last beyond softball?
Totally. I totally, like, without a doubt. I think especially at AU, you like almost have to quickly get to know people, like really like invest in getting to know them quickly. Like obviously changing teams every week, it's like you don't, you know, you want to get to know your teammates, but absolutely, like especially ones that have been there for a number of years, you know each other well, and you definitely have your people that like you spend the most amount of your time with, like of going out to eat every night or whatever that looks like. But there's a bunch of quality time and you get to know people, and I know like it's really fun to be in that AU atmosphere because no one truly gets you in your life as much as the AU peeps do, of just the grind of making softball a priority all the other months out of the year when you're only here for a month and a half, and just what that looks like. But totally, like very sincere relationships and friendships that I hold really close to my heart for sure.
Yeah, that's 100%. Awesome.
Amanda, who do you race with in Mario Kart? I know Odyssey, you go Toad, right?
I race with Kelsey Harshman. She beats me every single time. Like her and her husband, that's like their quality time is playing Mario Kart. And so she's like a professional Mario Kart player. So I was getting literally like, as long as I could be in like the top seven, that's when I thought like I would.
Mario Kart is serious business. It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, no, it's so hard. Like especially hard playing against a seasoned pro. I like remember I was so good as a kid. And then I play now, and I'm like, I'm not good.
What character?
You're Toad. Odyssey's Toad, I think. She told me last time.
You think I'm Toad?
Yeah.
Yoshi. Be for real.
Yoshi? I was little Bowser.
There you go.
Yeah. I feel really bad that I have no idea what you're talking about.
If you haven't played Mario Kart, terrible place.
Under a rock.
What?
Mario Kart has lasted the test of time. It is the greatest game ever made.
You would never think that. You would think we're sitting in our room just playing Mario Kart. No, you probably think we're, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have a whole video on my camera.
Do you have it? Can we play it?
We can play it at my house right now.
Can we go there?
Yeah. Okay, I'll bring it.
I even have the steering wheels.
Nice.
Serious game.
Nice way to end.
Yeah. Guys, we cannot thank you enough for first of all, the time. I mean, spending an hour with us, we really, really greatly appreciate it. The insights were unbelievable. And I think that there's a lot of things that, you know, the listeners and families and young girls and young women can hear in this that will be like, you know what? I get it. I get that. I understand that. And of course the starstruckness will also be fantastic. So, we greatly appreciate your guys' time, and we hope to see you both very, very soon. Odyssey, I know we'll see you very soon as well.
Odyssey, what are you doing tomorrow? You're in Richmond, right?
She's in Wake.
Wake Forest.
Wake.
Oh,
she's in Wake.
Never mind.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again,
we'll send you pictures.
And yeah.
What about this weekend? Are y'all coming to
the weekend? We won't be there, but obviously Daryl and Megan will.
Yeah. So yeah, and Amanda, we can definitely hook you up with some shirts. No worries.
Awesome. Oh, I'll bring you some. Don't worry.
There you go. So again, thank you guys,
Amanda.
Really, we
thanks for putting it together, Odyssey.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank
guys.
You, Amanda. I just
so
learned
much.
So much.
Yeah, a lot of pearls.
Very
of
educational
pearls.
Show.
Yeah. Good. Thanks again, guys. Take care.
Thank
Bye.
You.
See ya.
Bye.
Well, yeah, it's unbelievable time, right? This is
Amanda's pretty awesome. They're both pretty awesome.
I mean, that's that was quite the pearls of wisdom and. A lot of energy.
If you see her, you can be her.
There you go.
I love that. We're going to make a t-shirt.
Yeah. There you go.
We'll send that.
Yeah. Fine. I think that one exists. But
I wasn't sure if that was hers or...
But hey, she says it, so that's fine. Hey, on behalf of all of us here at This Week at Best Pitch and 643, no matter where you are, what you're doing, live life like a 3-1 count. Take care, everybody.